Let's now turn to Lord's Day number 34 of the Heidelberg Catechism. This is a summary of our Christian faith, subservient standards of doctrine to the Word of God, but nevertheless faithful in its summary of the Christian faith. And today we start going through the Ten Commandments. And so let's go through Lord's Day 34, beginning at question 93. Please respond to the questions. How are these commandments divided into two tables, the first of which teaches in four commandments what duties we owe to God, the second in six what duties we owe to our neighbor? What does God require in this first commandment? That on peril of my soul's salvation, I avoid and flee all idolatry, sorcery, enchantments, invocation of saints or of other creatures, and that I rightly acknowledge the only true God, trust in Him alone with all humility and patience, expect all good from Him only, and fear, love and fear, and honor Him with all my heart. So as rather to renounce all creatures than to do the least thing against His will. Now what is idolatry? Idolatry is to conceive or have something else in which to place our trust instead of or beside the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word. Now, brothers and sisters, as we go through each of the Ten Commandments, I'm going to go at least say some introductory remarks in terms of how we should approach the Ten Commandments. Now, the first question talks about how the commandments are divided. And we typically say or speak in this way because Scripture does, and that there are two tables of the law. The first table is where we have commandments 1 through 4, and that focuses on how we are to worship God, that He is the only God. There is no other gods besides Him. Right? And the second table is all about how we are to love our neighbors. And so there's two categories of that define the Ten Commandments. However, just because they are divided and each commandment is unique to itself, it does not mean they are divided in the sense that there's no connection between each of the commandments. Right? You cannot love God unless you love your neighbor. You cannot love your neighbor unless you love God. You cannot separate these things as if we can focus on one commandment or even one side of the commandments and say, "Oh, I'm good here, but I just need to work on a little bit in these certain areas." James says, "If you break one of the commandments, you've broken them all." Right? And so sometimes we, in our pride, tend to isolate certain commandments and say, "Oh, I feel safe here." But that's not what the catechism, that's not what the Scripture teaches. That there is a connection between all the commandments. So in this way, you can say that commandments 2 through 10, if you break any one of those, it is in violation of the first commandment as well. Right? Murder, adultery, covetousness, stealing is a form of idolatry. Because the reason why you're breaking those commandments is because you're idolizing something else. You're elevating something else that is worth more than obeying the one true God. So I think that I want to make that very, very clear from the very beginning so that we don't think that we can isolate any one of these things. But also, isolate any one of the commandments, but also because there will be false teachers who will tell you, or people in public figure as who have a public authority will tell you that you, in order to love your neighbor, you must do as the government tells you to do or follow these rules and precepts. Right? But if in loving your neighbor, you're contradicting how you are to worship God, you're not loving your neighbor. Right? And so, don't be fooled by that, because people in power, false teachers, will use that to their advantage, thinking they can fool the church in that way. All right? And so, as the catechism starts with the first commandment, it talks about how, or what does it mean to, or what does God require in the first commandment? And that is, and look at the words here that it chooses. It uses the word trust. It uses the words expecting all good from Him only, right? With my whole heart. So, idolatry is really a matter of the heart, is it not? It comes from the desires, the affections. It starts there. People tend to think idolatry is about bowing down to a wooden statue because that's what they did in the ancient days. But what people do now is they don't worship statues. They worship things. They worship themselves. They even maybe dress themselves up as their own idol because that's the nature of idolatry. It's ultimately an exaltation of our own selves. Right? Especially when you look at Isaiah chapter 40, the man who cuts down the tree and forms a wooden idol, but in the end, it looks like himself. So idolatry is really about how we exalt ourselves over God. And the warning that Scripture gives us is that if we worship these idols, whether it be riches, whether it be our autonomy, whether it be anything else, that we obey first instead of God first, we will be empty, become empty like those idols. Right? Those idols don't have any power. We may put eyes on them, but they don't see. We may put ears on them, but they don't hear. When we cry out to them for salvation, they won't do a thing, especially on the day of judgment. And so the Bible warns us very clearly from beginning to end, worship the Lord only in all of your life, not just on Sundays, but Monday through Saturday, from morning to evening. Watch over your heart. Repent where there are idols and turn to the true Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all of your worship. Amen.